is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Ukraine crisis is Russia crisis. I welcome Michael Bernstam of the Hoover Institution, my guide through the sanctions against the Russian Central Bank and the private banking system of Russia these many weeks. We turn now to what we're told is the one reliable source of income for Russia, that is oil. This is the Wall Street Journal. Russia's oil industry, linchpin of economy, feels sting of Ukraine war disruptions, writes the Wall Street Journal in these last hours. Oil is backing up through Russia's energy supply chain and leading to a drop in crude oil production, a blow to Moscow's main economic engine. Refiners are trimming output and in some cases closing down because of falling demand at home and abroad. Storage space is running low and pipelines and tanks, wells which pump from some of the world's biggest crude reserves, are dialing down production. Michael, a good evening to you. This looks like an oil story. But I'm
good evening, an oil story indeed.
I'm certain this oil story connects to the money story. How do the sanctions that started weeks ago, actually before then, because you designed these sanctions before the war started in the 24th, how does that lead to the oil industry shutting down production and not increasing production? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. And the oil is really crippled from all possible sides. One is on the demand side, that lots of Western countries are refusing to purchase oil. At the same time, China, India, and others are buying Russian oil, but at a huge discount, $30-$35 per barrel. It is 30-35% of the world oil price. And the Russians have to sell because otherwise they can't. And that's on the demand side. And on the supply side, lots of production depends on Western spare parts and Western inputs. They are not getting them. And so they cannot repair the pipelines. They cannot repair oil wells, rigs. And this cripples their output. And then there are financial problems. So on all fronts, and now the International Energy Agency predicts that Russian production will decline from 1.5 to 3 million barrels a day. And that's, again, another 15-30% of their total oil production.
We go to the Russian Central Bank, and the Russian Central Bankers, Elvira Nabiullina, 8 years modernizing Russia's monetary policy and forging bonds with global markets. This is the Wall Street Journal. And now dismantling piece by piece. The puzzle here is keeping the war machine going. As I understand it, she's attempted to control inflation and dialing back some interest rates from 20% to 17% and making the ruble at least representative to the Russian people, if not able to carry on commerce in the world. What is her plan? Can you sense where she's going with this, Michael? Because ordinarily we would say this was in ruins.
It's probably the worst job in the world, not the kind of job you and I would want to have. And damn if she doesn't. And at one point, she succeeded at a very difficult task, which people kind of are not talking much about. There was a run on Russian banks. The Russian banks were collapsing like the dominoes, like our financial institutions during the Great Recession of 2008-2009. She spent lots of foreign exchange reserves of the central bank to support the banks. The total reserves declined by $40 billion, but the banks are standing. So it's a huge bailout. It's not a good thing, but at least the banks are functioning. So she succeeded at that.
She succeeded. What about inflation? She can't control inflation. She's naming these interest rate hikes, it seems, arbitrarily.
She can't control inflation because incompatible tasks. And she cannot do lots of things altogether. On the one hand, she has to provide liquidity to the banks because people are going withdrawing cash. They don't trust the banks. They want to keep cash at home. So she has to print money. And she prints money, it increases inflation. She has to control inflation, she increases interest rates, fine. But then companies cannot borrow, so the credit freezes up. So there are so many problems, they cannot be technically solved altogether.
The Russians with bank accounts and credit cards, I'm told if they have the ability, they're leaving Russia for cities at the edges, the near abroad, Tashkent, Istanbul, or any part of the previous Soviet era empire. The reason they, as soon as they get there, I'm told, they apply for bank cards because their Visa and MasterCards are no good inside, are no good outside of Russia. Has the Russian Central Bank or the private banks, have they solved credit cards? Do you, credit cards useful inside Russia? Because these people have fled because they're not useful outside of Russia.
No, these credit cards are now only domestic, so they're just for local purchases. They're not accepted anywhere else. The advantage now of these people who are living in Russia is that we live in the 21st century. And educated people who know information technology, who know computers, they're good programmers, they can have a job anywhere, it doesn't matter where they are, they don't have to be in Europe. They can go to any remote place of the former Soviet Union, less developed place, start a company, find Western clients, they can work, they can have jobs.
The question then is, what's next? They're running out of options. No one believes the Russian Central Bank can maintain this equilibrium. Well, it's not even equilibrium. It's just that the war fighting is masking what is going on at home. There's a former foreign minister. His name is Kudrin, who's quoted in the Telegraph in these last hours. He's now the head of an audit bureau, saying that the damage that's being done right now, without the sanctions getting worse, and we know they will, to the Russian economy will take years to recover. What's he talking about, Michael? Where is he looking for the trouble?
It may have decades to recover if it is a brain drain that we just discussed. If all best educated people going anywhere in the world. In the past, they wanted to go to the Silicon Valley or to London. Now they want to go anywhere in the world. And all industries are now in trouble. Today, the Madam Secretary, Madam Chairwoman of the upper house of the Russian Parliament made a great discovery. She said, we have nails shortage. In Russia, we don't have nails. We cannot produce nails. It's a manufactured product. It is imported. Now they cannot even use their nails in construction because imports are closed down. So altogether, Russia was very much dependent on all Western inputs, on Western technology, and now it is sent decades backward.
And the statement here is that Mr. Kudrin said that already soaring inflation could be as high as 20%. It doesn't matter what the inflation is if you haven't got the money to buy the food that is being, that's spiking in price. Anecdote across Russia outside of Moscow is all staples are now climbing out of reach of the poor people of Russia. Is there any chance that they're going to be to a famine in Russia? Have you heard talk like this, Michael? We have about 30 seconds.
Not famine, but a good deal of malnutrition.
So what we have here is the add-on effects, the logic of the initial sanctions against the Russian Central Bank. It's 6 weeks in. It gets worse every week. The oil industry is no longer able to move its supply. The Russian Central Bank is wishing upon a star to maintain its ruble internally, not externally. Michael Bernstam at the Hoover Institution, my guide on the falling down the stairs of the Kremlin. I'm John Bashman.